The general who would lead the Union advance on Manassas was the energetic, imaginative, and Paris-educated Irvin McDowell, a teetotal and big-eating former staff officer for Scott who had no field command experience. McDowell realized his soldiers were terribly young, inexperienced, and poorly equipped. It worried him deeply. He asked for a delay to give his troops more training, but Lincoln argued that soldiers on both sides were green and ordered his general to expeditiously plan for a campaign. McDowell saluted, and on June 29th presented to Lincoln and his cabinet a battle plan, which had no grand design for taking Richmond as the press wanted, just Manassas Junction. McDowell's army would cross a sluggish stream called Bull Run for a flank attack on Beauregard's force to the west of Manassas Junction. At the same time, 15,000 federal soldiers near Harper's Ferry, commanded by General Robert Patterson, a 69-year-old veteran of the War of 1812, would keep 11,000 Confederates in the Shenandoah Valley under the command of the cautious and fussy Joseph E. Johnston from rushing on a railroad line southeast toward Manassas to reinforce Beauregard's outnumbered army. McDowell had put together a workmanlike plan, but it was better suited to be carried out by experienced officers leading seasoned troops, which McDowell decidedly lacked. McDowell also was short of good intelligence for the battlefield on which his men would fight, missing simple but important bits of information, like the best places for his soldiers to ford Bull Run. Unlike the Confederates who had Washington spies and articles in unrestrained northern newspapers tipping them off to federal plans and movements, McDowell knew little about what Beauregard or Johnston planned to do. That was where Lafayette Baker came in, Scott told him. The general had found it impossible to obtain accurate intelligence from Manassas Junction. He wanted Baker to sneak into the area and vacuum up everything he could find there about the enemy's strength and movements. Baker proposed to infiltrate into Virginia, pretending to be a photographer taking shots of high-ranking Confederate officers. Scott liked the idea, but he told Baker he could pay him little. Baker said he would be fine with just his expenses covered and the promise of a job when he returned. Scott reached into his vest pocket, pulled out 10 double eagle coins totaling $200, and handed them to his new spy. He wished him good luck on his excursion to Dixie.